Father God, I'm asking for a special blessing upon these people who came out tonight to sit in your presence. I'm asking you, Father God, to move among the people. Touch, rearrange. Change the things that need to be changed, Father God. And take us deeper into your bosom. And Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. Tonight I'm going to teach you on the abundance of rain. It's coming. We have the rain, but now God is going to give us an abundance of rain. Every person goes through times of drought, dry seasons, when we don't see anything happening. We have big dreams. We're standing on God's promises, but we just don't see anything changing. It's dry and it's barren. You can be blessed in one area and in a drought in another. Have a successful career, but be struggling in your marriage. A drought in a relationship, or you can have a great marriage, but you just don't feel well. A drought in your health. Excuse me. It's easy to think this is the way it's always going to be. I'll always be lonely, have to deal with this depression, struggle in my finances. That is not true. I want to announce that in 2016, that drought is coming to an end. Any area of brokenness, dryness, loneliness, every empty place, if you will stay in faith, God is going to rain down favor, rain down healing, rain down restoration. Psalm 68:7 through 11 says, O God, when you went forth before your people, when you marched through the wilderness, says Selah, pause and calmly think of that. The earth trembled. The heavens also poured down rain at the presence of God. Yonder Sinai quaked at the presence of God, the God of Israel. You, O God, did send a plentiful rain. You did restore and confirm your heritage when it languished and was weary. Your flock found a dwelling place in it. You, O God, in your goodness, did provide for the poor and needy. The Lord gives the word of power. The women who bear and publish the news are a great host. It says, God, you did what you said you were going to do. And we have to really be encouraged and know that God is already doing what he promised us he's going to do. Not going to. It is already happening. Please get this in your spirit. You are seeing an abundant rain. Number one, every drought is only temporary. That dry season is not going to last forever. Why? Because the rain has come and the abundance of rain is right behind it. Number two, that addiction is not going to be with you your whole life. Rain has come. Number three, struggle and lack is not your destiny. It's temporary. Rain has arrived. Number four, some of you have been in a drought in your health, chronic pain. You don't feel well. You could easily settle there. No, you need to get your umbrella. The clouds have formed. Number five, maybe in your career you feel stuck and can't seem to get a good break. You got passed over for the promotion. Don't get discouraged. God has something better for you. It's not going to be a drizzle, saints, not a sprinkle, but a downpour. It's going to be an abundance of rain because God has been promising that to us for quite a while now. When you get up in the morning, you need to declare it. Father, thank you that the drought has ended and the rain has come. Thank you that in 2016, I'll see an abundance of your goodness in my life. The drought may come. There are dry seasons when we feel empty, but that is not the end of your story. Rain, the rain's already here, so it's the abundance of rain that is coming. Psalm 35, weeping may endure for a night, but joy comes in the morning. Rain can take a dry, barren place and bring new life. It may have been that way for a month, for a year, or for 20 years, but when the rain comes, things that seem dead begin to bloom, blossom, flourish. They just needed some rain. And I looked up, I Googled with scriptures for rain, and there was three pages of scriptures that talks about the rain. And I couldn't believe that. You know, when you read the Bible, I think we look over that word. But it's so important to God, this reign that He has us in right now. What you may think is over and done, the loss of a loved one, loss of a dream, loss of a relationship, you feel lonely, empty, like it would never change. No, to change, all you need is some rain. The God we serve is saying, I'm going to send rain to your barren places. It's not over. I'm going to rain down new opportunities, relationships, new ideas, and new dreams. Some of you are in that dry place. Things haven't turned out the way you've hoped. You have been through some difficulties, but that is not the end. Joy is coming. You may be in a drought, but rain is headed your way. This is your year to bloom, blossom, and flourish. It's your year to see new growth, opportunities. God is raining down His favor in abundance. He is going to turn your mourning into dancing, your sorrow into joy, your loneliness into love. He's going to give you beauty for those ashes. The drought is coming to an end. Yep. God is truly working a works in each one of our lives. I believe if I've asked for people, did God give you a vision last night, every one of you in here would tell me He gave you a very big vision, a very important vision. It took you someplace. Amen. Psalms 30:11-12. You have turned my mourning into dancing. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy, so that my soul may praise you. Why did He do that? So that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. So the psalmist said, you have turned my mourning into dancing, talking to God. You have taken off my sackcloth and clothed me with joy. Why? So that my soul may praise you and not be silent. O Lord my God, I will give thanks to you forever. See, the psalmist is saying, because you did that, then I can praise you. But if you hadn't done that, I couldn't praise you. I'd be too weighed down. And this is what God has done to each and every one of us. And Isaiah 61:3 says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. So God says, to console those who mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. See, God replaces everything negative with something positive. Why? That they may be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He may be glorified. See, God does these things, and we're supposed to glorify God in them. 1 Kings 18:1-2, and then verse 41. And it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. Excuse me. Did you ever stop and think if Elijah had not listened to God and went and presented himself to the king, the rain would have never come? See, he says, and it came to pass after many days that the word of the Lord came to Elijah in the third year, saying, you know, third year of the drought, saying, go present yourself to Ahab, and I will send rain on the earth. The prophet had to do something. So Elijah went to present himself to Ahab, and there was a severe famine in Samaria. Then Elijah said to Ahab, go up, eat and drink, for there is a sound of an abundance of rain. Now listen to this. When he said that there wasn't a cloud, I'm sorry, when he said that there wasn't a cloud in the sky, no sign of rain, yet he chose to believe what he heard in his spirit in spite of what he saw with his eyes. See, this is the important part of this scripture. God keeps telling us, quit looking at your circumstances. Just trust me and believe what I've told you. So when Elijah said that, there wasn't a cloud in the sky. You know, Elijah could have said, well, I'm not going to go tell him that. They'll all say I'm a false prophet. They'll all think I'm crazy. They'll stone me to death. Right? When Elijah said that there wasn't a cloud in the sky, no sign of rain, yet he chose to believe what he heard in his spirit in spite of what he saw with his eyes. He saw drought, famine, and barrenness, but down in here, down in his spirit, he heard the sound of an abundance of rain, not just a trickle, but an abundance. Are you listening? Too many people nowadays are looking at the circumstance and not trusting God. They have to become like Elijah. And even if you don't see it, you've heard God say to you in a prophetic word, I am going to do this and I'm going to do that and I'm going to do the other. And Satan comes along and he makes everything look just the opposite of what God has told you. Right? Red dots, your part. Shout of faith. Remember, I want you to shout, thank you for an abundance of rain, Lord.
Thank you for an abundance of rain, Lord.
Now just receive it. See, if we don't speak these things out, we're just hearing something. God was speaking to me, Danies, I want them to get it down deep in their spirit, man. Yeah. He went and got his umbrella. This is what faith is all about. You have to believe what you hear in your heart, even when what you see is just the opposite. You hear abundance, but you may see lack. You hear health, but you may see sickness. You hear rain, but you may look around and see drought. It's easy to talk yourself out of what God wants to do. Somewhere in here, I think I say, go get your umbrella. I think in there. Let's read that again. This is what faith is all about. You have to believe what you hear in your heart, even when what you see is just the opposite. You hear abundance, but you may see lack. You hear health, but you may see sickness. You hear rain, but you may look around and see drought. It's easy to talk yourself out of what God wants to do. All right, I'm just going to stop there and use myself as an example. Sister Nancy Willis said, she went and took me to the courtroom, I believe it was, and she went and interceded for my heart. And I felt really good for a couple of days. Then all of a sudden I had a stroke, and my heart's been messed up ever since. So I said to the devil, no, I'm not looking at my circumstances. I heard the prophet tell me that God told her that my heart was healed. And that's what I'm standing on, not what I see, not what my body's telling me, but what I heard the prophet tell me. Because I know that prophet, when she calls me and says something, it always comes to pass. I can trust that prophet. You understand this? So I'm standing on what I heard, not what I'm seeing. God is saying there's about to be an abundance of favor in your life. Don't we all need an abundance of favor? We just don't need a little trickle of favor. We need abundance of favor. The drought is coming to an end. You're going to see healing, restoration, new opportunities, and new growth. Don't say, I don't think so. The medical report's still bad. My child's still acting up. I'll never meet the right person. No. Why don't you be like Elijah and have a boldness to believe what God's put in your heart? You know, you might have been in lack and God said your finances are free and you got in deeper into lack. That was Satan to discourage you, to take your faith away from you. You have to say, nope, I don't care what I see. I know what I heard. In the hearing of my ears, right? Why don't you start declaring red stars, shout of faith. This is what you're supposed to say. The abundance of rain has come. Favor has come. 2016 is my year to bloom, to blossom, to flourish, to see new growth. You know, God says, all right, start time. I'm thinking, God, I've never done this before. This is God. Amen. 1 Kings 18:42. I used to always say, I can't do that. Well, God showed me, yeah, you can. No. 1 Kings 18:42. Elijah went up to the top of Carmel. Then he bowed down on the ground and put his face between his knees and said to his servant, go up now, look toward the sea. He put actions behind his faith. He was expecting it to change. See, a lot of times what you're doing here tonight is you're putting action behind your faith. And this is where we've been lacking. We have not been putting action behind our faith. 1 Kings 18:43 said, so he went up and looked and said, there is nothing. And seven times he said, go again. Elijah didn't get discouraged. You hear that? I don't think I have it in here. I read somewhere where it said that Elijah prayed one time for fire and it fell down. But he had to pray seven times for the rain. Amen. He didn't think, well, I must have heard God wrong. How many of us have said that? He told him to go back and look again. If you're going to see abundance, you can't let people talk you out of what God put in your heart. Your brother Brett and I prayed about a situation the other day, and I knew it was done, and then I said, nope, it's done. I had the breath of fresh air. It's done. You know what I'm saying? Your eyes can see, and even the situation around you can tell you it's not done, but yes, it is, because God said it, and I felt the fresh new air. Are you understanding this? Satan's always going to make you believe it's not done. He's always going to make you believe it's never going to change. And it hasn't changed for 10 years or so, right? But it's going to change. There's going to be a breakthrough. And I'm seeing it. God said the dam is going to bust. And I'm seeing that dam, you know, the walls come down and the water coming through. It's going to be an abundance of rain that God's going to rain upon each one of us in here. Don't let words of doubt and discouragement take root. And we can do that. We don't need anybody to say nothing. We can do that ourselves. We can let doubt and discouragement, our own words can bring doubt and discouragement and they can take root. People may tell you things like, you really think you're going to get well? My grandmother died of that same disease. You think you're going to get that position? I don't think you're really qualified. Let that go in one ear and out the other. People don't determine your destiny. God does. What you hear in your spirit is more powerful than any negative words that have been spoken over you. What you hear in your spirit is more powerful than any negative words that have been spoken over you. I'm typing this all my life. I look back and every job I got, I was never qualified enough for not one of them. None. But I was hired on the spot. And I had other people upset with me because they were well qualified. And I had to learn a job as I went. But now I realize that was the favor of God giving me those positions, even though I wasn't qualified as far as the people were concerned. See, God will do that for anybody. Here, I was a dumb little kid. I mean, I was a woman, but I didn't understand those things. And I didn't know what people tell me, go apply for the job, you'll get it. I said, I don't have no qualifications. Just go apply for it anyhow. And I'd get it every time. Good paying jobs. And now I understand I was always walking under the favor of God. Amen. I did disappoint the people because I wasn't dumb, you know, and I learned the job quickly. But still in all, I wasn't qualified. How many of you in business, you sit on a board of hiring people and you look at the qualifications, right? And they have to meet the qualifications or they can't be hired, right? If you will listen carefully, you will hear the sound of abundance, the sound of increase, the sound of new levels. That is the creator of the universe calling out your seeds of greatness. Let's read that again. If you will listen carefully, you will hear the sound of abundance, the sound of increase, the sound of new levels. That is the creator of the universe calling out your seeds of greatness. God does not want you to stay where you are. He has new levels, but you have to get into agreement with Him. Amen. You have to get into agreement with God. God, I agree with you that my lack is over. I agree with you. I'm just saying, my house is there. I agree with you that I have a new car instead of a piece of junk I have to ride around in. You know, you have to come into agreement with God. You have to ignite this moment and say, yes, this is for me today. My child may be off course, but I'm not worried. Boy, a lot of people need to get that in their little spirit. I hear the sound of restoration. I know the rain is coming. God has said that the prodigals were coming back home. He said our children were going to line up with the Word of God. So what are we going to believe? Are we going to believe what we see? Or are we going to believe what God says? You know, I'm not believing what I see. I'm believing what God said. If that's the case, then how come I fuss every now and then? I can't fuss. Are you listening? If we're really lining up with what God says, then we cannot be complaining about anything we see happening. God told me that today. He said, if you really believe what you heard, then why are you fussing? Are you understanding this? It doesn't matter what, all right, just say when your kids are going astray, and God said, he's let you see them already preaching the word, you know, and all straightened up and everything else, and they're just worse than what they were before. You don't look at that. No, I know what God said. God said that they, then you say what God said, and I keep telling Brother Larry that all the time. No, this is what God told me, and this is what I believe. I tell Teresa, this is what God told me, this is what I believe. But I can't fuss any time in between either. All right? Because there's something in me that's trying to tell me that isn't true, and that's why I fuss. Then I have to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I know what you said, and I do know what's going to happen. But there's that little bit of something in us that the enemy works on to make us get a little bit of doubt. Don't do that no more. Because you hear the sound of restoration. I know the rain is coming. I may not feel well. I am not discouraged. I hear the sound of healing. I went through a loss. I'm not living depressed. I hear the sound of new beginnings. I know the drought is ending and the rain is coming. When I look out at you, you know what I hear? I hear the sound of dreams coming to pass, the sound of marriages being restored, the sound of that baby you've been believing for, the sound of divine connections, you meeting the right person. See, it's a divine connection, not your connection. I hear the sound of new opportunities. It is a sound of abundance. A couple of months ago, I was reading an article this prophet wrote. She I forgot how old she was, but she was, I'll say 32, I think. And she'd been believing God all her life for a mate. She never married. She never went out with anybody because God hadn't sent her that mate yet. And she said, told God, I'm getting a little bit older, but she said, I'm still going to wait for God's choice for me. I'm not out looking. You know, and when people come to me, I'm not even, you know, believing that that's the one, because I know that when it's the one, God will say so. Amen. Come on. She said, in the meantime, she's going to work for God and be about the Father's business. And she doesn't keep her mind stayed upon, I need a husband. I need a husband. I need more of God is what I need. 1 Kings 18:44. Then it came to pass the seventh time that he said, there is a cloud as small as a man's hand rising out of the sea. One thing we love about God is he can take something small and turn it into much. I thought about Meshach's little twin girls. They were tiny little, they were small little things. Look at them today. In fact, the doctors wanted to abort them. And look at them. Healthy little spunky little things they are. God doesn't need the whole sky to be filled with clouds. He can take a tiny little cloud. Most people would dismiss it. It's nothing. It's insignificant. Yet God can bring a downpour out of it. You don't need a bunch of people behind you. You just need the right person behind you. Are you hearing that? You don't have to be the most powerful, the most influential. God used a teenage girl named Esther, an orphan, to save all of Israel. I said, you don't have to be the most powerful, the most influential. God used a teenage girl named Esther, an orphan, to save all of Israel. God used a donkey to speak to a prophet. No offense, but most of us don't pay any attention to a donkey. It's insignificant. Right? God used a slingshot and a few stones to defeat Goliath. And put David, a shepherd boy with no training, on the throne of Israel. Don't discount the little cloud. God can take something small and turn it into something great. When God called me into the ministry, I said, God, I don't know how to run a church. And I was just learning that I could hear his voice. And God said, my Holy Spirit will teach you. You know everything you need to know. Amen. Did I make mistakes along the way? Of course I did. But God was there to correct them. Don't despise the day of small beginnings. I was going to write that scripture down because it's in the Bible. Some of you, all you can see is a little cloud, a little glimmer of hope. It doesn't look like much. Every voice tells you, don't get your hopes up. You're going to be disappointed again. Nothing's going to change. People don't have to tell you that. You already know that. You say it all the time, right? I want to tell you just the opposite. Get your hopes up. Find your umbrella. Put your raincoat on. God is raining down an abundance of favor. There's going to be an abundance of goodness in your life. God has done it in the past. He's going to do it in the future. He's doing it right now today. God is really, he's rectifying everything in your life. What we have to do is believe it. And let's stop looking at the negative all the time and look at the positive. You know, the devil is raging. The Bible tells us the devil is raging. And the person that God's told you he's going to clean them up and they're going to preach the word of God, they're acting like all hell is in them. They're acting like the devil themselves, but we aren't allowed to look at that. We have to look at the promises that God has given us. I didn't say that was easy. I'm just teaching you this, all right? We're all going to struggle with this. But we have to grasp it and hold on to it and finally get it in our spirit. And then we won't even have to think about it. It's just going to be, oh, God, if God has told you, then you say, oh, God has that. I don't have to even think about that. There's other things I have to be about in the Father's business. Are you understanding this? The reason why we can't go on with God is because we're still back here trying to take care of something God already said he's taking care of. In his timing, he'll bring it to pass. We have to let it in God's hands and trust God that God is well able to do what he's spoken he will do. That drought is coming to an end. Elijah told King Ahab in 1 Kings 18:44. So he said, go up, say to Ahab, prepare your chariot and go down before the rain stops you. He was telling him to get in his chariot before the rain even started. God is saying that to us. Get in your chariots, you know, before the rain even comes. Well, the rain's already come. Now we're looking for the abundance of rain. We got greedy overnight, did we not? I did. This rain is wonderful, but I want more. I want more rain. I want everything that God has for me. Amen? Come on. I want everything that God has for me. He told me one time, you think too small. I want you to think largely. And you settle for second best. I want you to have the very best. Well, he should never tell me that because now I think very largely. And I want the very best of everything. My phone got run over and broke. And so I need a new phone. And so my daughter was looking on the computer for one for me before I left. I said, don't buy me anything refurbished. I don't buy anything refurbished. I know, Mom, I wouldn't do that to you. I don't like anything used. God won't let me go to Goodwill to buy used clothes, so why should I buy anything else used? If it's not new, I don't want it. That's what God told me. You deserve the very best. Amen? So here, my daughter's looking for me a phone so I can have one. Larry's looking for me for a phone. I might end up with 10 phones. I don't know. I said, I don't want a fancy cell phone. I don't need one of these big screens where you push your fingers because I can't operate them. Believe me, Larry has one. I can't even get it to turn off or on. I said, I just want a little flip phone. Because I don't use it for nothing except a case of emergency. Amen? I'm easy to please. I lost my place. Where am I? He meant the sound of abundance that I've heard on the inside is about to come to pass on the outside. That breath of fresh air that felt on the inside is going to come to the outside. Are you listening? This was before there was any sign of rain. Notice Elijah's faith. He was making plans for abundance when all he saw was a little cloud. I heard somebody preach years and years ago when I first got born again. They said, if somebody gives you $100, the next check will be $200. Next check will be $500. Next check will be $1,000. And they said, you watch how big a check God can write for you. So one time somebody gave me, when we was really booming in here, God walked up and said, God said to give you a check of $500. So, gave me a personal check for $500. I said, yes, Lord, the next is going to be $1,000. And somebody came and gave me a $1,000 check a month later. Come on. Now, I want you to think that way. If you get a $10 check in the mail, the next is going to be $100, Lord. No more $10 checks. Are you understanding this? Don't stay there in that little field. Expand. Expect more. Because God told me one time, I have so much to give to my children up here in the heavenly storehouse, but they can't accept it. They can't believe me for it. God has your abundance. He's trying to get us during this revival to get geared in to really receive the abundance of everything that he has for us. If you wait around discouraged, negative, I'll believe it when I see it, you'll be waiting your whole life. If you wait around discouraged, negative, I'll believe it when I see it, you'll be waiting your whole life. God prophesies to you, your husband is going to straighten up, your marriage is going to be beautiful. So you say, yeah. So you say all these things right there. It's never going to happen. You have to do like Elijah and start making plans for abundance. See, Brett went out and got his umbrella. He doesn't want to drown in the abundance of rain. Start making plans for increase. Start talking like it's going to happen. Not if I get well, but when I get well. Not if I break this addiction, but when I break this addiction. See this? Not if I start my new business, but when I start my new business. And I'll put in there, not if I write a book, when I write a book. You have to show God that you are trusting him. That is what Elijah did as he was heading out. The heavens opened, the rains came pouring down. Now it happened in the meantime, that's 1 Kings 18. Now it happened in the meantime that the sky became black with clouds and wind, and there was a heavy rain. So Ahab rode away and went to Jezreel. Then the hand of the Lord came upon Elijah, and he girded up his loins and ran ahead of Ahab to the entrance of Jezreel. That sounds great, but I don't even see a little cloud in my sky. See that? Let's just stop there a second. Last night, for the very first time that I've ever ministered, God was telling you people to birth. I've never done that before, but it's God. And when I laid my hands on you women's stomachs, I could feel the contractions up in your stomach moving around. So I know you birthed something. But the one, a male I laid my hands on, and I said, God wants to birth a new part of your ministry. He didn't receive it. He didn't birth it. I felt it. Say. So it doesn't matter what God's telling me to do. I just do it because he's saying it. And he said, whatever you place your hand to do in faith, I'll meet you there. So we just have to go ahead and step out in faith. And whatever God's telling you to do, just do it. And then God takes over. Amen? Come on. I've been believing to meet the right person, but I haven't had a date in 27 years. I don't see how it could happen. No, just because you don't see anything doesn't mean God's not working. You don't know what God is up to behind the scenes. If you haven't dated for 27 years, you probably wouldn't know what to do with a man anyhow, or when you got it, amen? No, that's not the truth. Everything comes natural. God said, when I say rain, I don't need a cloud. This is what he's prophesied. When I say healing, I don't have to have medicine. When I say promotion, I don't need your boss's approval. When I say abundance, I don't need a bank. I am not limited by the natural. I am a supernatural God. So you should say, well, you know, I need a promotion, Lord, and you don't need my boss's approval. You're the boss. You give me that promotion. All of your circumstances may say you'll never get well. You'll never get out of debt. Never accomplish your dreams. There's not a cloud in the sky. But take heart. He's still God. He's still on the throne. He doesn't need a cloud to make it rain. God can do what medical science cannot do. Don't talk yourself out of it. Don't let your circumstances discourage you. Everything doesn't have to look the way you think it should look. All right, so my heater went out in my car in the summertime. So we fooled around and didn't get it fixed. Then I didn't have any money because I had to put all the money into the lawyer and everything for my grandson. And I said, my first thing was still in the summer, it's going to be a horrible winter and we're going to freeze in that car. It's been a beautiful winter. And we haven't been cold in the car. Maybe once or twice. But it wasn't that cold. Amen? So I was thinking, well, I spoke something negative when I should have just kept my mouth shut. Because God knew what kind of winter it was going to be. We did try to get it fixed a couple times. But the people back down said, well, I just don't want to do it. It's such hard. You know, these are mechanics. It's so hard to do it. You got to take your dash part. We even have the part in the back of our trunk. But, you know, so God took care of it. He didn't let it get cold. Amen. Come on. You have a wonderful God. He's a miracle worker. He's a supernatural God. He can do the impossible if you just trust him and believe him. And because I had to get all this money together for the lawyer and everything else, my daughter said, you're going to be broke for a long time. I said, I am not. I am not. God is going to pay this. I am not going to be broke. She goes, we'll see. And I said, God, you show her. Amen. Come on. Come on. Yes, I'm believing that. I've spoken that. Am I at God's ways or not? God's ways are not our ways. Number one, God brought water out of a rock. Number two, Jesus told Peter to go catch a fish, open its mouth, and there was the money he needed for taxes. That's another thing. You got to pay your taxes. You say, oh, God, it's tax time. Where am I going to get the money? If you know you got to pay, where am I going to get the money? Trust God. God called a young lady named Mary to have a baby without knowing a man. Amen. He's God. He can use those things or he can do it another way. Without a cloud, without a bank, without the treatment, without the experience, God has ways to make it rain in your life that you've never dreamed of. You know, I said, how am I ever going to study God? I got this little 2-year-old. He runs around here and gets into everything. And then I have Gabriel I got to contend with. And then the telephone rings and, you know, blah, 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 blah. You know, you got to do your laundry and this and that and the other. And he's made a way. You know how, if anybody is really studying or trying to do a book, just as you get your thoughts all cleared up, you know exactly how you're going to write it down, here comes the baby. He'll run into my study and grab something and run like crazy. And it's always something he shouldn't have, and so I have to run after him to get it. And so where's my thoughts? So I said, well, now I got to go back. And I'll say, Larry, will you please take him? I said, because now I got to go back and get my thoughts all together. But you know what? When I go back, my thoughts are still there. Amen? God makes the way. Come on. You have to trust him. See, I don't complain too much because I don't have 8 kids running around. Two's enough. See, you always need to think of that. Somebody's worse off than you are. See, somebody else probably has 12 kids running around. And you can thank God you only have 8. I mean, really? Do you hear it? See what I'm saying? Well, my van broke down and it was too small for my kids anyhow. Well, thank God you at least have something. You know, some people don't have nothing. Shoe leather. A bicycle. At least you have a friend to let you borrow their car. If Brother Allen didn't, I'd smack him. No. No, but what I'm saying is, that's his car. He can do what he wants to. But see, there's always somebody worse off than you are. And when my kids, when Gabriel complains, I said, Gabriel, there's kids out there don't have anything to eat, anything to drink, don't have any shoes on their feet. Their clothes are all tattered or they don't have any clothes. Oh, you need to quit complaining of what you got. You know, come on. There's always somebody worse off than you are. And the reason why you're not as bad as theirs is because you have God. You have God. You know, another thing is, if our kids are sick, there's always somebody out there who has a kid that the child is worse off than your child is. You know, they put these advertisements about cancer on TV. I really don't like to look at that because it's, the kid, little kids are smiling, and they don't have arms and stuff like that. No, it's St. Jude's Hospital. And I said, God, I just thank God that little Isaiah is healthy. I'm glad he can run around like a tornado. I mean, really, at least he has all, he's whole. Amen. Come on. You know, I look at him every now and then, I say, God, I just thank you he is here. Because he's so lovable. He's a joy. He really is. He really is. No, he really is, though. I tell Larry all the time, I just love him. I do. I love him so much. And he's so cute. You know, he does the things he does. He's so cute. It's really hard to correct him. You don't have to figure everything out. All you have to do is believe. In fact, it says in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, trust in the Lord with all of your heart, not with your big toe. All of your heart and lean not on your own understanding. Our problem is we lean on our own understanding. And God tells us not to do that because we'll never understand his ways. Never. Sometimes there is no logical solution. You have to turn your mind off. If you're constantly trying to figure it out, that's just going to make you discouraged, depressed, frustrated. Just because you don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. Now, how many of you know? I just said if you're constantly trying to figure it out, that's just going to make you discouraged, depressed, frustrated. How many has been in that boat? It's not until you turn it over to God and leave it in God's hands that you finally have peace. Just because you don't see a way doesn't mean that God doesn't have a way. God knows how to make it rain in your life. He doesn't need a cloud. We carry enough clouds of our own. He doesn't want to use a cloud. He may not do it in ordinary way, so quit trying to figure out how it's going to happen and just believe that it will happen. You may be in a drought today. You don't see any clouds in the sky. But remember, God doesn't need a cloud. Now you have to get in agreement with God and start saying, Father, thank you that the rain is coming. Healing is coming. Restoration is on its way. Dare to make some declarations of faith that God I serve is a rain-making God. This is what Abraham did when he was waiting for the child God promised him. He was way too old. It looked impossible. But the scripture says in Romans 4:20, but Abraham never doubted. He believed God for his faith and trust. For his faith and trust grew ever stronger. And he praised God for this blessing even before it happened. Come on. I thank God every day that he saw fit to give me a 2-year-old that's active at my age. Do you know why? I'm learning to run more faster. I've learned how to do the tricks of catching him, before he can get away from me. I've learned how to crawl out of bed like a 10-year-old would. Come on. I know some women my age couldn't even get up on a chair. Sometimes I feel like he has me like a pretzel. I do. I thank God for him. I said, thank you, God, because he's really keeping me young. Really. So what are you complaining about, you young whippersnappers with your 8 kids? They're doing something great for you. He got up, Abraham got up every morning and said, Lord, thank you that your rain is coming. Thank you that my baby is on his way. Thank you that you're faithful to your word. He kept thanking God for what he heard in his spirit. Like with Abraham, God has put dreams in your heart. Now, when Sarah heard it, she laughed herself to derision, did she not? She said that was the funniest thing she ever heard, but I'll bet you when she was carrying, no, I won't bet, when she was carrying that baby, she wasn't laughing at her age. You know? God has spoken promises over you. Deep down, you know you'll get well. You know you'll break that addiction. Yeah, every time I look at your mirror, I say, God, you have her under, you have it all in your hands. Yeah. You know, I watched Mary because she just suddenly got sick. She was so vibrant for, I think she did anyhow. She's so vibrant for God and everything, and all of a sudden, you know, the enemy had really attacked her with her health. And, you know, and she's up here trying to praise the Lord, and the enemy's saying, you want to praise? I'll take your breath away from you, you know. And she just keeps praising. I'm watching. She just keeps praising. And even though she's sometimes really laboring, she just keeps dancing and praising. And see, that's her faith at work. God, you're allowing me to do this. You're giving me strength to do this thing. You're understanding this. Come on. Where am I at? I've lost my place, Nancy. I probably was. And I said, he has spoken promises over you. Deep down, you know you'll get well. You know you'll break that addiction. You know you will accomplish your dreams. But in the natural, it looks impossible. You don't see how the odds are against you. You don't see how, because the odds are against you. It's been so long. No, God is saying, what I started in your life, I will finish. You always have to remember, whatever God started in your life, he finishes. He never leaves anything half done. He does not stop in the middle. He doesn't stop 3/4 way through. He finishes what he starts. Rain is coming. The clouds are starting to form. I can hear some thunder rumbling in the distance. Now keep praying. Keep believing. Keep expecting one touch of God's favor, one downpour. Are you hearing me here? You know, God told me a couple years ago, daughter, start building up your faith because you're going to need faith. And so I started working on it, and sure enough, I needed faith. If we will hear the voice of the Lord, and if we will be obedient to what he's telling us to do, when your storm hits you, you won't be caught off course, and you'll be able to go through that storm. Because you've already done the legwork before the storm hit you. Are you listening? And like with Abraham, the baby will suddenly be conceived. The drought will come to an end. You need to get ready. In 2016, rain is going to come looking for you. Go ahead, receive it. You can do it. I don't have a red star, but you can do it. You can shout your shout of faith. You're not going to have to go after it. Good breaks, opportunities, restoration, divine connections are going to track you down. God knows where you live. He can send the rain your way. He knows your name and your address, and he can talk to somebody overseas and tell them, hey, bless them financially. Are you listening to me? I said, going home last night, I said to Larry, well, he can talk to Donald Trump and tell him, send me a check for $1 million. I won't mind. He won't miss it. Amen. Come on. That's the first person I could think of that had lots of money. I think I finished that. I hear the sound of abundance rain. I said that rain. The dry places, the barren spots are about to see new life. Can you really believe tonight that there's new life is coming into your life? Can you really, truly believe that all the old junk that you've been living through, God is finally putting an end to it? He did not have this revival of raindrops for nothing. Because as I study about rain, it's all through the Bible, and most of it brought nothing but good. Now, when he had a drought, that was bad, but most of it's good. Most of the rain that the Bible talks about is good. It brought life where there was death. Are you listening? These 2 weeks, God is bringing life into you. You know, whenever the snow came and we had to cancel this for a week, and everybody said, what are we going to do now? And I said, well, God told me to start it, whatever date was, the 23rd, and that when is it going to end? The same as it was supposed to end before. I said, no, I'm listening. And then God told me the end date, which is the 14th. And yeah, that's Valentine's Day. I think that's wonderful. So here we are. And look what God has been doing. I could have said, you know, I could have been lazy and said, well, God said it's over. I could have lied. You know? I could have. You wouldn't have known no difference. Not unless God told on me. I think some of you really don't want me to hear a 14-day revival. I really do. I could tell by the way you reacted and with the questions you was asking me. And I thought, God, just make them go 14 days. I don't care about going 14 days because I like this. Amen? Come on. What did I say? The dry places, the barren spots are about to see new life. This is your year to bloom, to blossom, and to flourish. Do you want this or do you not? Or do you want to stay in 2015? No. Then receive the former latter rain that God has given us and let him do in your life what he wants to do. Amen? I think some of you, when you gave birth last night, it was for your ministry. I think I heard God say, I can't remember what he says. But whatever God did to you during that birthing, keep it. You worked hard on it last night. I was really anointed and I was really excited. And I said, gosh, we're giving birth here tonight. And somebody said, the screams were so loud it was hurting my ears. And just 3 or 4 people, but still and all, you know. God did a powerful thing. Come on. And then I heard God say, some are jealous because you're not going to them and telling them to birth, but they would abort it if I had them birth tonight. So I only went to whoever God told me to do it. And when I went to the one person, God said, they're not going to receive it, but I want you to go anyhow. I hate it when I have to go to a failure. When I already know it's not going to work, I don't like that. But God has given the person a chance to change and to receive. And they won't be able to say, well, you didn't give me a chance. They won't ever be able to say that. Amen? Do you see the glory in here? I can't even hardly see it. I mean, it's so bright. Now, get up early tomorrow morning, expecting it. I want you to expect it right now. No red stars, but it's your turn to do something. Say that next line. Shout of faith. Come on, shout of faith. Come on. Come on. But since you did all that, see, I said, if you do this, but you already did it. So I believe and declare you're going to see not a trickle, not a sprinkle, but a downpour of God's goodness and abundance of rain in 2016. I'm hearing God say everything, absolutely everything that I promised you, you're going to receive. You know me, I don't believe in hype. So you know this is all God. I mean, this is all God. And he is serious here in these 14 days. He just, every night he's done something powerful. Every night. You know, the testimonies that we hear here and there, people being healed or people being changed or rearranged or whatever. God has been touching everybody's life in some way. He sure touched mine. He sure touched mine. I have a different walk with God, a closer walk, and I thought I was close. when God told Barbara that she just had her big toe in the water whenever, and God let me see that big toe in that river, it got as big as a big blown up balloon. And then he said, just wait, I'm going to drown you. I remember when he told me he was going to drown me, and he did. I'm going to tell you one thing right now. We are serving a supernatural God. We're serving a God who never changes. The plans and purposes he had for your life when he sent you down here are still yes, they're still amen. And the only way they won't take place is if you don't believe. If you don't believe. God said you can have more than an abundance if you want. More than an abundance if you want. He said you can have the total glory cloud if you want. I wish everybody in this room was as vibrant as Astrid is about what she wants from God. I really do. You know, her life is not the best. She doesn't come in here looking downtrodden. She comes in here just praising God and expecting the very best from God. Why is it that we just can't receive what God says without seeing anything? You know, the Bible says signs, wonders, and miracles are not for the church. They are for the unsaved. The church should never ask for signs, wonders, and miracles. They should, if they're a child of God, then they should just follow Jesus just because. So why is it the church needs signs, wonders, and miracles? Because you're not sanctified enough yet. You're not deep enough in God. Amen. All right, so the church went through 10 years of hell. All right. And so it just about took us all off course. Yes, it did. But that is over. That time is over. Now God is wanting to exalt us. Now God wants to restore everything that a palmer and cankerworm has stolen. Can you receive it or not? Come on. Do you know, whenever we start out with the Katie Zozo videos, do you know how many people are now being touched? Because everybody in there told somebody else to watch it. Then they've told somebody else to watch it. Do you know how that one little act of faith that I did? Well, it's the first night of Revival God. And what are people going to say if they come in here and sit and look at a videotape of somebody else talking? And we've advertised that Barbara Lynch is going to be doing all the talking. I don't care who does the talking. As long as God gets the results. And I will do whatever God tells me to do for God to get the results. I just don't want you coming behind me and ministering. Because God didn't tell me you were supposed to do that. Amen. I'll do whatever God tells me to do, and then it's done. Because I listen to God all the time. You know, you pay a price to hear God's voice all the time. And you have to move by the Spirit, not your flesh. God said, they just get too zealous for me, and they do things in their flesh that they think I'm telling them to do, and I'm not. It's because they're too zealous. So don't be so zealous for God that you get out of the Spirit and get into the flesh. Are you listening to me here tonight? Because when you do that, you mess up the person you minister to, and you mess up your own ministry. Because at that point, you've opened the door for Satan to come in and then lie to you. Are you listening here tonight? God has sent the rain, and now tonight he's sending the abundance of rain, and it's not going to stop. It's going to just rain and rain and rain and rain, and all this Delmarva Peninsula area is going to be saved by that rain. But it's going to take you and I here in this church, because God said he's going to use this church to do that. It's going to take you and I in this church to believe God and walk around here like we have the joy of the Lord is our strength, and trust him to do the miracles that needs to be done in our lives so we can then minister to other people. God said, I'm going to send the broken and the downtrodden in here. And if you're still broken and downtrodden, you won't be able to minister to them. That's why I keep shaking the church to get the broken and downtrodden out of here. Because if you don't have it to give, you are no good to me. Are you listening? So God is on the move whether you want to believe that or not. And God is doing a powerful works whether you want to believe that or not. He's still God. And he's still in control. And I'm here to say many ministries are going to be birthed out of this ministry. Yes. Ever since we started, ministries have been birthed. But he said many now are going to be birthed out of this ministry. He said we're going to train them. And then he's going to send them forth. You should, if you don't feel the anointing of the Holy Spirit in that, then you go get... I wish we had a baptism. I would rebaptize them every time they didn't receive it. Amen? Come on. Now, are you ready tonight to receive the... Now we've received the rain. Tonight it's the abundance of rain. Are you ready to receive that abundance of rain that will take you even higher than you are tonight? If you are, you know where to go. To the river. The river is still flowing. Get behind Astrid. She's right there. Just she won't linger. She gets in the river real quick. Like, come on. Come on. God wants, he's telling me he wants to fill some of you, not all of you, but some of you are going to get so full of the river tonight that every place you go, it's going to splash out on those people that you run into. Come on. Do you want to be a splasher? Come on. Quit allowing the enemy to lie to you and tell you that it's not possible, because it is possible to carry so much that your spirit, your temple won't be able to hold it. It'll just keep splashing out onto all those you run around with, run across. Come on. Did you ever think the reason why you're still in a drought is because you still don't have enough faith to believe God to do what he can do? It's whenever you drop your own thinking in your own flesh, and no matter what's going on around about you, say, God, you're in control, because I'm not, then God can start working on that situation.